This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. NPR reporter and host Kelly McEvers and her colleague Chris Benderev spent more than a year exploring coal counties across Appalachia, trying to understand our people and our history with coal. The series, which recently aired on a podcast called Embedded, follows several people in central Appalachia to find out how their lives changed during the first year and a half of the Trump presidency. The podcast host Kelly McEvers recently spoke with Roxy Todd.
I wanted to know, what do you think about this format of really getting to know people over a long period of time? How does this style lend itself to understanding a region in a different way than maybe just a one-time story where we don't hear from that person ever again?
Right. There's this thing in our business called parachuting in, right? And, you know, like, the nature of being a journalist in a lot of ways is going to places that where you're not from or where you don't necessarily belong. And going into that place and saying, hi, I'm here to ask a lot of questions, to do a lot of listening, and to try to tell other people about you. And that is a fraught exercise, right? Whether it's Yemen or Appalachia. Like, I've been doing this for a really long time. And there's a lot of times when people just don't want you to be there. But there's also, I mean, I didn't run across that at all, but it's more just, you know, what kind of story are you here to tell? What's your angle? What's your premise? And I think the answer to that question for me is, I don't know. You know, you tell me. And sometimes one trip, one story, it just isn't enough. And especially in a place, I think, like Appalachia, that has been covered, you know, poorly for a really long time. I was really aware of that. I was like, you know, if you're going to do this, don't do a bad job of it, right? So one way that I know is to try to spend more time.
And you mentioned that there's this history of reporters doing a poor job of depicting Appalachia, this, you know, and I was really struck by how much research you and your team did on media that's been produced about this conflict, a lot of books that have been written. What made you all really want to dig deeply into that story of how reporting has gone badly in this region, and how did it influence, I guess, your reporting?
Yeah. We didn't do it in the beginning, which is kind of funny, because usually if I do any kind of reporting project, I'm just like, okay. I mean, you do the equivalent of like go to the library and like get a big stack of books and like start reading. But it was kind of like when we were in the middle of the process and we would come across people and stories, right? When you're doing your research, you come across that one newspaper article that only talks about drug abuse, or, you know, the multiple articles that always talk about how there's no cell phone reception in this one county, or, you know, those old news accounts that only show sort of the poverty. And then you come across people who say, like, did you come here to do that? And you're kind of like, no. But then you realize, like, you know, we might need to do more homework here. So it kind of just happened organically.
And the overarching themes that you're looking at in the series, I imagine that this series wouldn't have happened without the 2016 election and Trump and so much in the national media being discussed about coal and what's next. And so how did that choosing of that theme, and then how'd you decide to kind of approach it in the way that you did?
It was a total accident. We went to Buchanan County, Virginia before the election. And my idea was to think about coal for sure, because, as we all know, Hillary Clinton had made that infamous statement in the campaign, one that, you know, she and her people now acknowledge was one of the biggest mistakes of the campaign. It's a whole chapter of her book about the campaign is dedicated to this moment when she says to a town hall in Ohio, we're going to put a lot of coal miners out of business. And then, you know, she tries to come to West Virginia to talk to people about it. And she's, you know, sort of confronted by this young guy who works in the coal industry. It was just like, when you say things like that, do you have any idea what it means to us? You know, so that's what was the starting point for me, was this sense that everyone across the country had that Hillary Clinton was going to become the president. And yet there was this region of the country that she was not connecting with, that she might not be getting, That was the origin of the project. It was to go and find and watch and see what happens. Okay, Hillary Clinton's going to get elected. What happens? What's going to happen? And then just like everybody else, a few days later, Donald Trump was elected. And I think everyone was surprised. And so then the project changed. We're like, oh, okay. We were going to spend a bunch of time here and watch some people over time. Well, now we'll do the same thing. But the question has changed. And the question is, this is a president who got elected saying, I'm going to bring back coal. We're going to bring back coal. Coal is going to come back. You miners are going to be working your asses off. Okay, let's watch and see what happens. And that's what the project became after the election.
That was Kelly McEvers speaking with Roxy Todd about a new series of NPR stories set in coal country. This weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia features these stories. Let's listen now to a sneak peek. We'll travel with Kelly McEvers as she goes a mile underground inside a coal mine.
Now, in these early months after Trump is elected, some people are already getting jobs. We know this from Gary Dotson. He's one of the people doing the hiring. Gary is a coal mine operator. That means big companies contract him to do the mining. And with this upturn in coal, three of Gary's guys have left and gotten new jobs. So Gary has just hired three new young guys. And he's psyched.
You know, we have to start training these boys. If we don't train some of these kids, then this is going to be a dying art.
Gary has worked in coal his whole life. And he has seen the industry go up and down. In the good times, he could do stuff like buy a second house. In the bad times, he had to live off his savings. But this latest downturn, this one during the Obama years, Gary says it's the worst he's ever seen. During that downturn, the company that has a contract with Gary cut what it pays him by 20%. Gary and his partners cut their own salaries 20%. They cut the workers' pay by 10%. And they eliminated the workers' health insurance.
And then we just said, we'll just have to try to survive. And if we have to cut them anymore, we'll just quit. We won't try to do this.
What Gary's saying here is things have been so bad that he's been seriously considering shutting down his coal mining business, one that he's run for more than 30 years. Until Donald Trump got elected. Like I said, now things are starting to change. The price of metallurgical coal has gone way up, but Gary is still locked into his current contract. So if he can hold on just a little bit longer, he thinks things will get better. He can renegotiate his contract or even get a second contract with a new company. I asked Gary's partner, Barry Estep, about all this. He's in the trailer they use for an office at the mine eating lunch. Do you think things are going to get better now? I mean,
I think it will get better. I think it'll be, you know, a lot better than it has been the last year or two. Maybe this is a light at the end of the tunnel we've all been hoping for to get things turned around and change them.
When he says this, he means Donald Trump. So Gary really wants us to see what it's like in the mine.
We're ready to go.
Okay. So I put on a hard hat with a light on it, and we get on this thing called a buggy. It's like an industrial golf cart where you lay down flat. I'll get on that side? Okay. Gary's got on his hard hat and coveralls with reflective tape. He opens these metal doors to the hole. It's literally just the hole in the side of the mountain. And gets back in the buggy, and we just drive in.
Is this your first trip underground?
Yes.
You haven't panicked on me yet.
No. What's there to panic about?
It's not like you think it is. You don't get a good picture unless you do what you're doing today. Then you can go back and talk firsthand what you've seen.
And the thing that surprises me at first is how orderly it all is. I guess I just expected this dark, chaotic place. But what we're doing is driving straight down what feels like a road.
It's so crazy. We're inside a mountain. Driving inside a mountain.
All along the road are what look like little square rooms that have been cut out of the mountain. Each one has a number.
And your primary escapeway is where your fresh air is, and your secondary escapeway is you.
The other thing I notice right away is this feeling of just how dangerous this work can be. Mine accidents have decreased over the decades, but really horrible things still do happen. The last big mine explosion killed 29 people in 2010 in West Virginia.
Now right here is a refuge chamber through that door.
And you refuge.
You'll see one of these lifelines. That's what you go get in case something happens, you know. But that's where I'm not going to go. I'm going to find my way out of here if I can. If I'm a living, I'm going to move. You see that little orange button?
What was that big noise?
That little orange button on the bottom of this right here.
Is that a panic button?
That's a panic button.
Being a miner, it's no joke. At one point, Gary says this thing to me. I wish all these coal mines could just shut down for 3 months. And then people would see the lights go out in New York and D.C.
They'll never know until their heat and lights go off. They'll never know.
I later learned that's not totally true. Now it's a combination of coal, natural gas, and other sources that keep the heat and lights on. But I get what Gary's saying. He wants people to appreciate this work.
Come on, I'll take you over here.
He shows me the main machine that does the work. It's this massive thing called a continuous miner. It has these huge, jagged rotator things that cut into the mountain and turn it into a big pile of rock, dust, and coal.
Oh, wow. So it's like boring into the rock in the front.
And that was 6 ton, not 10.
Just then?
6 ton.
Wow.
We watch for a while, and then we head back out. It's a mile and a half to the entrance.
There's the outside world. Coming out of the hole.
I don't fully realize this until I come out, but emerging back into the world is a really intense feeling. Like, you just did this crazy thing. You went so far under the mountain, you were in the next town. And if you're a miner, you did this while also extracting something that makes the steel that built our country. Stuff like bridges and skyscrapers. And you made it out alive. To do that every day must feel like a big deal.
To hear more from Kelly McEver's new series about the future of coal in Appalachia, listen to this weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia, Sunday morning at 7 and again Sunday evening at 6. No stranger to the mountain stage, acclaimed singer-songwriter and West Virginia native Tim O'Brien makes his return to the program with a set of songs from his home state. Here is O'Brien with a cover of Larry Gross's When the Mist Clears Away.
Thank you very much. We're going to sing a song written by Larry Gross, your host tonight.
The other morning at the sunrise, when the mist is on the hill and all around, I saw a beautiful red woman on the road as I drove into town. And I pulled over and I asked her if I could give her a lift along her way. She said no thanks, I'm almost home now, I'll be all right when the mist clears away. Let the sunlight break through the darkness, let the night turn to beautiful day. Don't let the shadows turn into mountains, you'll be all right when the mist clears away. Long past sundown, when the neon lights were flashing all the night, I saw a young man sit on a doorstep. That man was a pitiful sight. His eyes were bloodshot, his hands were trembling. I hesitated as I thought I heard him say, I know you'd lose some, I hope you win some, you'll be all right when the mist clears away.
That was Tim O'Brien covering Mountain Stage host Larry Gross with the song When the Mist Clears Away. For this song and more, tune in to Mountain Stage, Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Molly Bourne, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.